How do you get better at something? Well, somebody said one time, you get better at something by practicing. However, those who are athletes know that there's a phrase that says, practice doesn't make perfect, it merely makes permanent. And so therefore, instruction is necessary. Have the right instruction, and then practice the right instruction so that you can get better. We're going to talk about prayer today. Prayer is work. Are you a good person of prayer? Are you needing prayer? Well, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about related to prayer, but let's start off with introducing the thought of how do we pray for one another? How do we pray for people? When we pray, what are we asking God to give them? You know, in this neighborhood, when we pray, we tend to, first of all, think about the physical needs. You know, the things that people have physically, that they're sick, or that they're recovering from an injury. Or we might even pray that someone could be healed. And the physical seems to be an important thing in our hearts and minds. Sometimes we think about people's material needs. Sometimes people need a job. They need a house. Or they need some tangible item, and we might pray for that. But as we pray for people, do we ever think about praying for them spiritually? Often when we do pray for people spiritually, we pray sort of like this. God bless so-and-so. What do we mean by that? What do we really mean by God bless so-and-so? We've begun to study Paul's first prayer for the Ephesian believers in Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul is definitely going to be praying for these people spiritually. Notice in verse 17, he starts off and he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. Paul is encouraging us to recognize that God in heaven is a God who can give. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can give? You know, God has resources that are endless as time. His treasury is far deep. And in fact, his provisions are limitless. What specific spiritual concepts does Paul pray for these Ephesian believers? If you're a note-taking person, there are 4 points to this message today, and they make up the specific 4 requests that Paul makes for these Ephesian believers. And you'll notice that, first of all, he says in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. And he adds revelation. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then he puts the prepositional phrase, in the knowledge of him. So the literal prayer, the first prayer, would be the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of him. Often when we read the New Testament, we see the word spirit. We have to remember that when the Word of God was written, the New Testament, in the Greek language, there was no case differentiation. So we're not sure, just by reading, whether that spirit should be a capital S or a lowercase s. In fact, just flip one page in your Bible over to chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit. Notice in your Bible, probably like mine, that word Spirit is capitalized. I'd like to ask those who compiled the New Testament, why in Ephesians 3:5 did you capitalize the word pneuma when in Ephesians 1:17 you left it lowercase? Interesting question, because what spirit is being talked about in Ephesians 1:17? Is it my human spirit? Am I praying that God would give to my human spirit some kind of wisdom in the knowledge of him? I mean, is that even possible? Or is it some kind of philosophy or some kind of source of power? Come with me to 1 Corinthians 2, please. 1 Corinthians 2. This passage will undergird the four requests that are being prayed for. And so we are going to make reference to 1 Corinthians 2 three more times, but we're only going to read it once. That'll save your Bible turning. However, there are a lot of other verses to look at, and you may follow Jason, see how quickly he can put them up on the wall. Be a game. 1 Corinthians 2, follow with me verses 14 through 16. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. As I said, this passage of Scripture applies to all four prayer requests. Because apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, folks, we cannot understand spiritual things. Spiritual things are only discerned by the Holy Spirit. And there was a time in our life when we didn't have the Spirit of God, and so we didn't know these things. And then the Spirit of God came upon us, and now we know things we didn't know before. So back to our prayer in Ephesians 1. Paul prays here that we would have the Spirit, and I believe that that should have been capitalized because I think it's the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit who can give us spiritual wisdom. Amen? You can't get spiritual wisdom on your own. And notice that the spiritual wisdom is the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of Him. The word wisdom here is a very interesting word. Transliterated, it's the word Sophia. Well, look at that. We have a little Sophia sitting in the third row. We're not going to ask her mother how much wisdom Sophia has. But her name means wisdom. But it means more than just wisdom. This word Sophia means the deeper things of God. The deeper things of God. There's all kinds of wisdom in this world, isn't there? Turn with me to James chapter 3. James talks about the wisdom of this world. We see it displayed every single day. We should never see it displayed in the church. James 3, look at what Paul says, or James says, excuse me. I've got a lot of people to read from today. I've got to remember who I'm reading. James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Stand up. That's what he's saying, in essence. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Godly wisdom is never done boastfully. It's done humbly. But, verse 14, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, even demonic. How do you know whether you're seeing worldly wisdom? Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Do you pray for our government? How do you pray for your government? You should pray that God would give them heavenly wisdom. Because if they had heavenly wisdom, they wouldn't fight with each other. How do we know that? Because it says in verse 17, they're willing to yield. That's the problem with most leaders. They can't compromise, they can't lead, they can't come to a decision. By the way, that worldly wisdom should never be in the church. We should only have heavenly wisdom in the church, and that heavenly wisdom comes from the Spirit. So back to our prayer, Ephesians 1. Paul is praying that these Ephesian believers would have the Holy Spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of Him. Here's the problem, folks. As human beings, we are obsessed with ourselves. We think about ourselves all the time. 24/7. We think about our own needs, what we want, what's good for us. We pick a car because we like the color. We go to a church because we like it, like the music, like the people. God wants us to know about Him. He wants us to go deeper in knowing him. And that's the prayer here, that we would have the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of him. Come with me, please, to John 17. What is Christianity? A lot of people answer that question differently, but some people think Christianity is rules. A Christian is a person who doesn't do certain things, and it's a person who does do certain things. And so if you don't do certain things and you do other things, then you're a Christian. Is that what the Bible says? Listen to what Jesus says in John 17. Jesus says in John 17, verse 13, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you." Jesus says eternal life, salvation, Christianity is a relationship. It's knowing God. Eternal life is not a place. It's a person. It's Jesus. It's knowing God. You know, in our relationships, we talk about knowing people. Do you know me? Some of you say you know me. Do I know you? How do we get to know each other? We get to know each other by spending time with each other. Quantity. The more time we spend with someone, hopefully the more we get to know them. Jesus says eternal life is knowing God. How do we get to know God? Through the spirit of wisdom, we get to know God. So here's the question. How well do we know God? Come with me to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, verse 10. You don't want to turn to the Old Testament, you'll just look at the wall. He's probably got it up there before I got to it. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom? You got to start with God. Fearing God. What's he going to do to me? No, that's not the fear. It's a trust. It's a trust where we worship him and we adore him. That's what it means to fear him. So here's the question of this point. Is our spiritual wisdom in the knowledge of God greater today than it was 10 years ago? In other words, do you know God better today than you did 10 years ago? How would you like somebody to pray this prayer for you? That you would have the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of him. And better than that, would you be willing to pray this prayer for someone else? Instead of praying, God bless so-and-so, pray that God's spirit would give them the heavenly wisdom to grow deeper in their knowledge of God. What a great way to pray for someone. But isn't it better to know that we have a God who's able to give this? Look at the second request, Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Once again, this word revelation comes from a supernatural source. I believe it's the Holy Spirit here. I think the S should be capitalized. Because apart from, remember 1 Corinthians 2, we won't turn there. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, can we understand spiritual things? Spiritual things are not discerned by our intelligence, but they're discerned by God's Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit who gives to us revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, there are many people who know things, but apart from the Holy Spirit, they don't know spiritual things. Now look at this word revelation. Interesting word. You might say, I think I've seen this word before. Yes, it's the last book in the New Testament. In fact, it's the exact same word of the last book that John wrote on the island of Patmos, Revelation. And the word means the unveiling of the future. God wants his people to know about the future. Here's a commercial. I really want to encourage you to come out for this dispensation study. because it helps us know the future. It helps us understand how to read the Bible. It helps us see what God's plan is. And it helps us know what the future holds. Now, at this point, we're going to take a side road. I'm a righty, so the road will be off to the right. Lefties, you can take the left road. But we're going to come back together in a moment. But here's the side road question, okay? Some people call these rabbit trails. It's a side road, because we're going to come back. Ready for the side road question? Why do you think God wants us to know about the future? Don't answer that. Just think about it for a moment. Why would God, who knows the beginning from the end, want his people to know about the future? He wants us to be prepared. He doesn't want us to be surprised. How many times was Jesus with his disciples and he was talking and he would say this, when you see these things coming, right? He wants us to be prepared. He doesn't want us to be surprised. Now notice, let's get back on the main road, verse 17. He says that you might have the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. It's not future events that are going to take place. More specifically, it's the knowledge of the revelation of the knowledge of God. What does this mean? It means every day we're getting closer to God. Every day we're getting closer to seeing God. And for those who know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we're getting closer to spending eternity with him. So this prayer does not mean that God is giving new revelation, but that the revelation is complete. We have it right here. And the prayer is that by aid of the Holy Spirit, our minds might be able to understand what God is going to do in the future and who he wants us to know of himself. Literally, the revelation is the unveiling of himself. Remember when Moses wanted to see God? Part of him was veiled. Why does God have to veil himself? A couple months, we're going to celebrate Christmas. I love Christmas. What happened in the incarnation? God took on flesh and was veiled. If he showed up in all of his full glory, mankind couldn't absorb it. It would be too great. So his glory was veiled. Well, right here, this word revelation means the unveiling of God. Why must God be unveiled? Come with me to 2 Corinthians 4. You know, there's something that you know that other people don't know. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Do you thank God every day that you now know who he is? There was a time you didn't. But he has been revealed to you. There has been an unveiling of who God is. But yet we don't know all that he is. There's more for us to know. And so the importance of this prayer is that we might increase in the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of who God is. Once again, would you like somebody to pray this for you? Would you be willing to pray that for somebody else? Third request, Ephesians 1:18. Continue the thought from verse 17. Let us not lose the idea that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Paul is praying that God will give to them understanding so that their eyes will be enlightened. Historically, there was a time called the Enlightenment. Remember reading about it? Studying it? Sadly, there was an Enlightenment. However, it brought more people into darkness. spiritually because it left God out. It sought knowledge without God. There are some people this week who are celebrating in our state because they're saying that the state of New Jersey has finally become enlightened. You know, in relationship to marriage, our state is finally enlightened. As your pastor, let me remind you, let me be very clear on this in reminding you that we do not receive our definition of marriage from the government. We do not receive our definition of marriage from the culture. We receive our definition of marriage from the Word of God. And from Moses to Jesus to Paul, it has always been and should always be one man with one woman. That's marriage. Our enlightenment comes from the Bible. Now, some of you know what this word enlightenment means back in verse 18. And you know that it's the word illuminate. And some of you know that illumination is one of the works of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who illuminates us to the truth of God's word. Literally, to illumine means to give light. That is the root meaning of the word. God's Spirit gives light. 1 Corinthians 2, remember that? Without the Spirit of God, we cannot understand these things. But notice how Paul words this in verse 18. He refers to our understanding, which is our mind, which will then lead us through our will to our decision making. Don't answer this out loud, but have you ever made a bad decision? Have you ever made a wrong decision? Do you know why we make wrong decisions? Usually it's because of bad information. We don't have all the right information. This prayer is actually a prayer that God's Spirit might give to us the ability to know the right stuff that God wants us to know so that we can then put that into practice. I want you to see the very interesting word picture he uses in verse 18. He refers to the eyes of our understanding, and the understanding is our mind. So literally, he's saying the eye of the mind. Did you know your mind had an eye? Not really. It's a very funny word picture. Sort of like send the kids home and have them draw a picture of this. The eye of the mind. What he's really talking about is having a mind that is sharp or perceptive. Another side road. Some people say rabbit's trail. Hold on to these thoughts. We're going to walk down a side road for a moment. Why must it be the Holy Spirit who brings that kind of light to us? Some of you have already figured it out. You remember 1 Corinthians 2. We're in darkness. Spiritually speaking, we are in darkness. And unless we have the Holy Spirit to give us the light, we won't walk in the right place. We won't make the right decision. Have you ever walked around your house at night and someone moved the furniture? It's kind of dangerous. That's exactly the condition that people are in when they don't have the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit in their mind. They're walking through this world as if they're in their house in the dark and someone has moved the furniture. They're going to trip over things. They're going to hit their head on something. They're going to fall and stumble. How would you like somebody to pray this for you? Would you be willing to pray this for somebody else? Last prayer request. Verse 18. Carry the thought from 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you that you may know. That you may know. Paul is now praying that these people would know. Now, he's not praying that they would be intellectuals. We have to study this word know for a moment. But before we do that, we need to recognize that this is the Spirit of God who gives to us this knowledge. Come with me to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. We should make these sword drills for those of us that remember sword drills. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, Solomon says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So if you want somebody to know, the first thing they need to know is who God is. I find it very interesting that the first schools of higher learning that were started in our nation were started with this premise, to know God. They were actually started to train pastors and missionaries, your Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, such. Wonder what happened. Any students here? We have any students in the room this morning? Let me encourage you, students, include God in your academics. Otherwise, your learning is an incomplete. You're not getting all the knowledge. Now, back to our verse in Ephesians. Some of you are reading ahead. I know that because I've sat where you're sitting. Don't read ahead. Stop reading ahead. Stop it right now. And you're seeing that Paul is praying for this knowledge in some particular areas. We'll look at that in a few weeks. Don't go there yet. We want to conclude this sermon by focusing more on this knowledge. What is this knowledge? Why is it so important? And what does it really mean, this knowledge? The word knowledge here speaks of an exact or full knowledge. It's a word that involves participation. In other words, it's not just knowing the facts. We have a great Sunday school, youth ministry, Wine and Bible Church here. We train up our children, and they've all learned, you know, the books of the Bible. And some of them know that there's 74 books of the Bible. The first service did better on this than you're doing right now. Okay, 62 books of the Bible. Okay, you got it now. 66. Head knowledge. A lot of people have a head knowledge. A lot of Christians, they know a lot of stuff. But you put their life under a microscope and pales. It's not living up to it. If this knowledge is part of our life, it means that when we pray, we're conscious that God is present. When you're praying, either on your knees or driving in your car, if you have this knowledge, it means you know God is right there with you. You're not praying and it has to go through some passageways before it gets to the presence of God. No. If you have this knowledge, you are in His presence and you know it. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to sense it. It's something you believe by faith. You know it. We've talked about Brother Lawrence before in his book, The Practice of the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence would tell us that if we have this knowledge, we even know that God is with us when we are down on our knees cleaning the floor. Christian, there are things we know now that we never knew before. And we know that we are in the presence of God in everything that we do. God is not just present when we get here. He's present everywhere. That's life to the fullest. So how do we pray for people? We can pray for their physical needs. I don't want to be morbid here, but understand me. Praying for people's physical needs is very temporal because we're all going to die. Praying for people's material needs, as important as they might be right now, it's all going to burn in the end. But praying for people's spiritual needs, their soul, that's eternal. We have seen Paul pray four specific spiritual concepts for the Ephesian believers. God is so willing to give. If we would only be willing to ask, seek, and knock. Let us be fervent in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we won't turn there. It says very simply, pray without ceasing. Does that mean I should be in prayer meeting all the time? No, but maybe you should. Be there on Wednesday when we have it. Because we get better at something by practicing it. And the more we pray with proper instruction, the better we will be at praying. But we should always be in a spirit of prayer. They told us in seminary, be ready to preach, pray, or die at any moment. You don't have to worry about the preaching, just the praying. All of us should be ready to go when the Lord calls, because our soul is His. So we're praying for four things: for wisdom, for revelation, for understanding, and for knowledge. God can give these to us. God can give to us the ability to have the insight into His Word, the ability to know exactly what He wants us to do, and the personal experience to live in His very presence every single moment. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that you are a God who is so gracious to give. Paul prayed specifically, may we grow in our praying, to move away from the generalities, to be more specific. Lord, we will often pray for those who have not yet come to know Christ, for we realize that in a very real sense, the veil still hangs over their mind. And we know that only the Spirit of God can remove it. But let us not think that we do not hinder the Spirit in our own lives. As we have come to know Christ, we can still be obsessed with ourselves. Help us that we might be able to allow your Spirit to open up our understanding, to lead us in that path that you want us to go. Thank you that you are so gracious, so loving, and so kind. Thank you that you hear our prayers as we come to you because of Jesus. And for any who have never come to you through Jesus, may they come even now in prayer to confess that they are a sinner and that Christ died for them and that they believe on Him to be their Lord and Savior. May we go in confidence, knowing that you are with us and carrying that meekness of wisdom that is from above as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.